Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Wednesday, December 3rd, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
After successfully silencing his deputy Joyce Mujuru and effectively killing her presidential aspirations, at least for now, President Robert Mugabe says ZANU-PF is holding its Congress a divided party.
We can contest also for the presidency instead of trying to oust the president through. And the people can vote for you. If they vote for you, you have more votes than the current president. That's it.
A former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo, who seems to be the only standing man in the beleaguered Mujuru camp in ZANU-PF, says the party's 6th National Congress is being held unconstitutionally.
Totally against this kind of thing. It's undemocratic. It completely negates the values of ZANU-PF.
And three leaders of the Maswingo Residents Trust were today arrested for staging a peaceful demonstration in the city demanding better services from the Zimbabwe Electricity Supply Authority, or ZESA.
After successfully silencing his deputy Joyce Mujuru in a page that has seen the 90-year-old President Robert Mugabe consolidating his grip on ZANU-PF and left many party faithfuls in political Siberia, Mr. Mugabe today called for unity in his party as he lashed out at Mrs. Mujuru for allegedly trying to overthrow him. He said ZANU-PF is holding its 6th People's Congress, a divided lot after the alleged overthrow attempts and the page that followed. Ivan Chifera has detailed from the capital.
Addressing the Central Committee meeting, a precursor to the Congress, President Mugabe accused Ms. Mujuru and Party Secretary for Administration, Didmus Mutasa, of mobilizing efforts in an attempt to topple him. The 90-year-old Mr. Mugabe said Ms. Mujuru and her allies in ZANU-PF were collaborating and sharing ideas with some Western countries and the opposition to allegedly effect regime change in Zimbabwe. He alleged Ms. Mujuru and her camp were so determined to take power that they even approached witch doctors and prophets to achieve their goal. President Mugabe said it was therefore not surprising that Ms. Mujuru and Mr. Mutasa were not present at today's meeting, as they have, in his words, faded away. ZANU-PF youths, backing a faction allegedly led by Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa, now heir apparent following Ms. Mujuru's humiliation by her own colleagues, had threatened to deal with Ms. Mujuru if she set foot at the Congress venue.
And Vanongo Turamasides,
people were taking sides to prepare for their future. Some were women, some were men. Now they are coming and saying they were not part of that. Once we do that, we are dividing the party.
Mr. Mugabe said people were free to contest for power in the party, but organizing illegal ways of taking power would not be tolerated.
You can contest also for the presidency instead of trying to oust the president through. And the people can vote for you. If they vote for you, you have more votes than the current president. That's it. You have won.
He accused Ms. Mujuru of working with the Americans and the Europeans to remove him from office, adding she had been promised billions would be poured in to help revive the country's sinking economy.
If you are American-minded and European-minded, then you don't belong to ZANU-PF in that way. And I poke off because we know that they will never let their riches be the foundation of the wealth of Africa.
Ms. Mujuru, Mutasa, and most of their allies barred from contesting Central Committee seats did not turn up for the meeting. Ms. Mujuru also skipped yesterday's Politburo meeting. There were many empty chairs in the auditorium as the party met to finalize changes to the constitution that will see Mr. Mugabe assuming powers to pick his deputies, reduce the number of people in the Politburo and related issues. Mr. Mugabe will officially open the Congress tomorrow. Mr. Mugabe said the Congress would give direction and correct irregularities in the party's policies. The road to the 2014 ZANU-PF Congress has been littered with a lot of irregularities, with the sacking of Mr. Mugabe's perceived enemies not following the party's constitution. Analysts have queried how a party that fails to observe its own internal democracy can respect and run the country democratically at national level. Meanwhile, security was tight around the ZANU-PF headquarters and the Congress venue, with many soldiers and police officers in patrol as delegates from all over the country continued to arrive for the Congress. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Top on the agenda of the Central Committee meeting is the amendment of the party's constitution to give President Mugabe powers to pick his two deputies and party chairman to form what has been known in ZANU-PF as the Presidium. In the current ZANU-PF constitution, the provincial coordinating committees nominate candidates for election to the ZANU-PF Presidium. Section 253 of the ZANU-PF Constitution vests the power to amend the Constitution in the Central Committee subject to ratification by the Congress. Section 253, subsection 4 of the Constitution says the proposed amendments shall, quote, be submitted to the Secretary for Administration at least 3 months before the date of the meeting of the Central Committee. But those backing Vice President Mujuru contend that the amendments are being fast-tracked without following the Constitution.
Lawyers backing Mr. Mugabe say amendments can be fast-tracked. The composition of today's Central Committee is being challenged by some chairpersons who have been ousted from the party. Suspended Mashonaland West Chairman Themba Mliskwa says their suspension was unconstitutional, citing the general provision, Article 21, subsection 251, on who has the power to pass a vote of no confidence on office bearers. The Constitution reads, and I quote, "A motion of no confidence shall be by a simple majority of all members of the appropriate organ." But Mliskwa says this was violated because war veterans, youths and office bearers who do not constitute the provincial executive were illegally used to boot out some officials. Suspended former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that Mr. Mugabe's usurping of powers to appoint the presidium is unconstitutional.
Totally against this kind of thing. It's undemocratic. It completely negates the values of ZANU-PF. We were a party which was formed, and our aims and objectives right from the beginning was to form a democratic party. And the practices that we have had for years and years, decades, it's democratic, even when we were out in the liberation struggle. We used to have biannual conferences in Zambia where people elected their representatives. Nowhere have we ever seen someone appointing people to certain positions. It's unheard of. It's an ZANU-PF.
Now, Mr. Gumbo, your critics are saying you had the numbers, but you were beaten on the intellectual side by your opponents. They are asking, why is it that you did not resist some of these changes if we look at the number of chairpersons who have been suspended in the provinces?
It's not just that we were beaten intellectually. It's manipulation. We are not manipulative. We are honest, straightforward supporters of the party.
Are there any chances that we might see some people going to court here, Mr. Gumbo, judging from the fact that you are talking about some unconstitutional methods that were used to oust some members?
Well, we don't know. We don't know what is going to happen. Why don't we wait until the day comes when some of these things may occur?
If you were to meet Mr. Mugabe today, what would you tell him?
Oh, I would tell him that is what is doing is wrong. Can't appoint people, especially people who are not elected, who don't have the support of the people. I'll tell him straight in his face that that is wrong.
Would you say there's a leadership crisis in ZANU-PF?
Of course there is. Oh, I mean, don't you see it? I mean, the whole world can see that we have problems. If you are going to hear people being fired, being humiliated, being shouted down, and so on, so that's not leadership.
As a suspended former ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Gweru.
An old-fashioned patriarch or an outright sexist? That's the question some are asking about President Robert Mugabe following his remarks yesterday suggesting he does not believe in leadership by a woman, criticizing his deputy Joyce Mujuru for allegedly trying to overthrow him from office. Mr. Mugabe was quoted yesterday as having said, quote, "We are experiencing it for the first time in ZANU-PF, and for that matter, it's a woman who's saying, I want to take over that seat." The remarks have sparked outrage among women rights activists like Linda Mpofu, who says Mugabe is showing signs of a man stuck in the patriarchal system of the past.
This is evidence enough for me that the old man is very old. He has to step down and rest. This is the thinking of old people who grew up stigmatizing women that they cannot lead. So definitely, I was not amused as a woman because us as women, we've got equal opportunities and we can lead as he has led us. So this has really shown me and is evidence enough that the old man is old. He has to just rest.
Is it about old age, sexism, or both?
I think it's both. He's just a sexist and again, he's old. Old people, an old mind. That is very sexist. So definitely the old man has to rest. And he cannot say that talking about someone has been his vice, you know, for so long. It shows that he has no respect for women. Maybe that's why even his cabinet is lacking of more women. Maybe he like we've been hearing a lot of stories that women in politics are abused. Maybe he still has that mind that women are just toys that can be played around with in the political arena. So definitely he's an old sexist man.
That was women rights activist Linda Mpofu on the line with reporter Ntungameli Nkomo from Harare.
Meanwhile, former U.S. Ambassador to Zimbabwe, Johnny Carson, says the United States is closely following the developments within ZANU-PF. The former top U.S. diplomat for Africa, who served as the U.S.'s representative to Zimbabwe in the mid-1990s, pins the country's deteriorating economic, political and social progress on President Robert Mugabe's long leadership, which he says has become more autocratic and authoritarian over the years. Carson tells Studio 7's Ndimiyake Makalele that he hopes the infighting in ZANU-PF will result in a better livelihood for all Zimbabweans.
There is indeed right now an enormous amount of political infighting within ZANU-PF for the leadership of that country. One can only hope that when there is a transition, that it is a genuine transition that allows Zimbabweans to be able to vote freely, fairly, transparently for the leadership that they think will best guide the country's political and economic future.
As you look back during your time as ambassador in Zimbabwe and your recollection of that period, what do you think went wrong? Are you puzzled by that?
No, I'm not puzzled. I think that Robert Mugabe always was a dominating autocratic political leader. One forgets that early on in Zimbabwe's history that he and others in his party sought to turn the state into a one-party state. He has always been tough on the political opposition, intolerant of them. Before ZANU and ZAPU joined together as a single party, ZANU carried out ruthless military and policing activities in Matabele land. Many people forget that era of Zimbabwe's harsh post-colonial history. I think that he has become more authoritarian and autocratic the longer that he has been in power.
But Ambassador Carson, it would be amiss for me not to mention the fact that the U.S., even after Bukura Hundi, which you mentioned, did still support President Mugabe. something changed after 2000, after the land reform program. What is your assessment?
No, I won't go into that. I'm just going to say that you promised to only ask me two questions in a few minutes, and I answered more than your two questions and gave you more than your 2 minutes.
That was Mr. Johnny Carson, a former U.S. ambassador to Zimbabwe from 1999 to 2003 and also former U.S. Assistant Secretary of State for Africa. He spoke with Studio 7's Ndimiyake Mwakaliele.
Transparency International Senior Policy Director for Government Accountability, Daniel Dodis, whose organization today released its annual corruption index ranking Zimbabwe at a low 156 out of 175, also gave us his take on the goings-on in ZANU-PF.
I think you have a real issue when you have a ruling party that basically has all of the power. You then do have factions that fight over the spoils, because obviously a lot of money comes with power. When the population sees that and sees that this is not, there's not going to be a democratic transition of power, then obviously that can create a situation where people's distrust of government is just reinforced, because they don't feel like government is going to respond to their needs. Government is simply a way for various factions to accumulate wealth.
Looking at Zimbabwe and where it stood in the past few years in regards to its ranking in corruption, what is next? What will happen as we continue to look at the political landscape and what will happen in the years forward, even looking at 2018 where elections are coming up?
Well, I think if nothing changes, if Zimbabwe remains essentially a repressive state, a quasi one-party state, then Zimbabwe is not going to improve in the rankings, and it will remain to be perceived as a highly corrupt country. You can look at some other countries in Africa that have shown some significant improvements. I'm thinking most notably of Cote d'Ivoire and of Mali. Those are countries that had periods of either one-party rule or coup d'etat, a civil strife, a war, even in the case of Mali. And yet, with the return of democratic governance, you have seen, an increased will, political will, to fight corruption, to develop institutions, whether it's the police force, whether it's the justice system, whether it's other ministries. And so that's an example of, I think, how a democratic transition of power can lead to some improvement. Now, Cote d'Ivoire and Mali, it should be said, still have major problems with corruption, but at least they seem to be somewhat on the right track towards improving things. And Zimbabwe could also get on that right track.
And that was Transparency International Senior Policy Director for Government Accountability, Daniel Dodis, in Washington, D.C.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Three leaders of the Mashingo Residents Trust were today arrested by the police for staging a peaceful demonstration in the city demanding better services from the Zimbabwe Electricity Supply Authority, or ZESA. The organization's chairman, Prosper Chiringindi, tells Studio 7 his vice, Honest Makasi, Ward 2 Secretary, Mishek Gava, and Simbarashe Mugari are being held at the local police station, where they are likely to face charges of contravening some sections of the Public and Order and Security Act, POSA. Chiringindi tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube they are not happy with erratic power cuts in the town.
The residents have gathered at the ZCTU offices before they handed the petition to ZESA. The police mounted the offices of ZCTU, and that led to arrest of three members, which included the first chairperson. They are charged with the case of POSA. They said that they want to cause the public violence. So the members are represented by Zimbabwe Lawyers and Men, right? Martin Mureri and Matiku and Mureri Associates.
So now, are these the same members that were facing charges of violating some provisions of the Criminal Law Codification and Reform Act?
No, these are other members, different members from the first three members who said they are against the charge of POSA. This is another new charge. Of course, that has been charged to another different members of Mashingo Central.
What is happening to them right now?
They are still at the Mashingo Police Central. We want to know the date when they are going to release. If they are going to court, we are going to make the follow-up of the court. But we are, as a resident, we are worried about the current government, which are much interested in terms of party conflicts.
That was Mashingo Residents Trust Chairman Prosper Chiringinde speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Mashingo.
Zimbabwe's media landscape remains littered with hurdles that make it difficult for journalists to operate with laws that criminalize access to information, freedom of expression, and freedom of the media remaining on the statute books. Correspondent Lloyd Amoyo has the story.
Journalists in Zimbabwe continue to operate at great risk of being arrested, with media houses under the constant threat of being closed down or sued by the government, which is failing to align the country's media laws and the constitution, a recent media workshop in Mutare revealed. Scribes say they face obstacles on a daily basis, in particular restrictive media laws of the Official Secrets Act, the Access to Information and Protection of Privacy Act, AIPA, the Public Order and Security Act, POSA, and the Broadcasting Services Act. Media practitioners are campaigning for self-regulation as opposed to state control, arguing other professionals like medical doctors and lawyers also self-regulate. Tarea Wongwe, chairperson of Mutare's pioneering community radio station, known as Kumakomo Community Radio Station, says he is more worried about the state dilly-dallying on the issue of registering new players in the broadcasting sector.
We have the problem that it is taking us long to be registered. So we are trying to work towards the process whereby we get licensed and we operate freely as a community radio station for the people of Mutare.
Wongwe says a lot needs to be done to force the government to expedite the licensing of community radio stations. He says opening up of the airwaves will create employment opportunities for thousands of jobless college graduates.
We were getting assurances that maybe in the coming parliamentary season, they will be able to license the community radios. Maybe they'll be able to make the calls for the community radios. So we're placing ourselves in a position whereby we are trying to mobilize and advocate for support for community radio stations, such that we have membership in all the ones in this city.
Kenneth Matimati, a freelance journalist based in the Eastern Border City, says he's worried that pieces of legislation like AIPA that inhibit free access to information from the government departments and institutions remain on the statute books. This, he adds, forces some journalists to speculate on matters, resulting in them being either arrested or facing litigation.
When journalists have unlimited access to information, you find that there are no aspects whereby journalists are criminalized on issues relating to unbalanced or articles that are perceived to have been written in a malicious way. So I think the most important to give journalists unlimited access to information.
Matimati says journalists have a critical role to play in society, hence criminalizing their operations is tantamount to muzzling the press.
Issues to do with the media, these issues should be handled on a civil matter, not criminalized. And I think with the tone that has been brought about by the ministry, whereby the minister himself say that no, gone are the days when media practitioners should be criminalized, is a positive tone.
Mutare lawyer and member of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights and ZimRights chair for Manicaland Region, Pasmo Nyakureba, agrees with Matimati. He says several media laws in Zimbabwe need to be harmonized or amended in line with modern trends so society can fully enjoy freedom of expression and freedom of the media.
In terms of freedom of expression and freedom of media, the position should be that journalists and media houses must be self-controlling and self-regulating to the extent that they check themselves off whether or not they are off their ethical rules. Journalists, I think, must be controlled by ethical rules just like in other professions, not by the state.
Journalists in the country recently met with the Parliamentary Portfolio Committee on Media Information and Broadcasting Services to discuss these issues, in particular laws that continue to criminalize operations of journalists. The journalists were lobbying the lawmakers to revise the country's media laws as a matter of urgency. Mavukuta Fara lawmaker James Maridati agrees that it is important for legislature to realign or amend the country's harsh laws that impinge on the work of the media so citizens can fully enjoy their rights to freedom of expression and association, among other fundamental rights.
We need more workshops like this to empower legislators so that when they go to the House, they're able to debate from a point of information and knowledge and maybe cause the constitution to change or maybe cause the alignment of laws.
Tabani Moyo, an advocacy officer with the Media Institute of Southern Africa, Mr. Zimbabwe, says his organization will continue to work with other groups and media houses in the country in lobbying lawmakers to decriminalize media laws in the country.
This entails that we must move away from the old age approach that if you differ in terms of ideas, then there must be an imprisonment or there must be a way of reprisal. What we are saying is if someone feels their image has been injured, there are enough civil remedies, and above all, we have got an established process of self-regulation, which is the Voluntary Media Council of Zimbabwe, where people can channel their grievances.
The repressive media laws mainly target journalists from the privately owned media. Many have been arrested for allegedly infringing laws like POSA, IPA, over the past decade in particular, but to date, not a single conviction has been secured, however. Recently, the Constitutional Court ordered the striking down of some sections of POSA that are unconstitutional, but the state is yet to be complying with the ruling. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Leda Moyo.
Zimbabwe today joined the rest of the world in marking the International Day of Persons with Disabilities. No official events were, however, lined up to mark the day, but educationists were today calling for an end to the invisibility and exclusion of children with disabilities from education by providing or improving data and evidence. Mr. Amasimba Kuchera of the Center for Disability and Development wrote a letter to President Robert Mugabe today with his colleague Abraham Mateta, writing in their own personal capacities, calling on the government to do more for people living with disabilities. He spoke with Jonga Kandemiri.
It's true that we've indeed written to the President of the Republic of Zimbabwe, and what we were saying as private citizens with persons with disabilities is reminding him that the government seems to have forgotten that there are people with disabilities within the country. We therefore see a situation where since 2012 the government has not commemorated the International Day of Persons with Disability, which is today. So in our letter, we are simply reminding the president to be aware of that and also to incline his government towards working with persons with disabilities in terms of development.
Did you manage to hand over your letter to the president?
I think to his numerous commitments with the Congress, we were not able to personally meet him. But we have sent this letter, and our hope is that as the appointing authority, he will also take this opportunity to appoint persons with disabilities as secretaries for disability within his party, but also realign government so that it is favorable to the wishes of persons with disabilities, especially to do with policy making and implementation. You may notice that in 2018, there was a ratification of the United Nations Convention on Persons with Disabilities, but there have not been any alignment of laws even with the new constitution, which makes it difficult to implement some things that are progressive things that are noted in that convention.
This year, the International Day of Persons with Disabilities is focusing on the role of technology. Do you see Zimbabwe accomplishing this?
Well, not in the immediate future and not with the set of policy makers and implementers that we have. And our clarion call to the president to ensure that that situation changes. And it is our hope that necessary alignment will happen in government at all levels to ensure that persons with disabilities at least are able to access the technology, are able to access environments that they can operate in which are favorable to them.
That was Mr. Simba Kuchera speaking there with reporter Jonga Kandemiri. Just as a reminder that our live talk today will be focusing on people living with disabilities.
Now to recap today's top stories.
After successfully silencing his deputy, Joyce Mujuru, and effectively killing her presidential aspirations, at least for now, President Robert Mugabe admits that ZANU-PF is going to Congress a divided party.
A former ZANU-PF spokesman, Rugare Gumbo, seems to be the only man standing in the beleaguered Mujuru camp in ZANU-PF, says the party's 6th National Congress is being held unconstitutionally.
That's our program this evening. This is Sandra Nyaira. Good night, Zimbabwe.
And I'm Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe.